Now, I know you're praising God that I have 3 minutes to preach. I know it. I can see it in your faces. But I'm gonna just share just for a moment before we have lunch together. And I think it's a very biblical day. If you know the Bible, I thought about this every time I read Leviticus. They never had a meeting where they all sat down in a room together. Not one time. They stood a lot, and they came together. Yes, they came together. But every single time they had a worship day, a dad would bring something, whether crop or an animal, firstborn animal. But I'm sure the mom was involved in cleaning that animal, making sure it was very clean, not a spot on it. The kids helped in some way. Now, they'd watch their dad move toward the altar area, and I bet they could see a bit about what the priest and the dad did, or older brother, whoever it was. But then, every once in a while, a priest would go beyond that, and they'd go into the holy place and act out those symbols of worship that nobody saw. Nobody saw that. Once you went inside, it was between the priest who bore the people of God and God. So he'd change the bread on the table of showbread. He'd relight the candles on the candelabra there. There was another altar of incense in that room. And then one day out of the year, one man would go, and that was the only time in the year anybody got to the Holy of Holies. Nobody saw that except one man, once a year. And I thought to myself, isn't it amazing that I hardly have ever thanked Jesus, I don't think, probably, but not often, for the beauty of this kind of experience, where you're not waiting for a priest to do anything. You don't need a priest. We have been blessed not just by people who've given before us. We've been blessed by a God who's given himself. If I could be blasphemous just for a moment, God has tithed his own life to me. He gave and gave and gave to me so I could come into a room each week, several times a week, into this building, this very building, to worship him face to face. And I'm a priest, and you're a priest. And he says, come. I'm going to produce a context where you can all come into my presence anytime you want to, as long as you know I'm God. If I'm the God of your life, come right in. If not, you'll never know me, and the building will mean nothing to you. You'll use it for your own ends. But if it's a building where you meet me, then all of a sudden, every centimeter matters. And I've sensed over the years, and Diane and I have been so grateful. I think we've gotten more realistic about holiness since we've gotten here. I mean, real holiness, not just the ideas, the ideals, but authentic, real, living, breathing holiness. And it comes by people like you and me who say, you know, this is my life. I'm living this before the Holy One with other people, and we're doing this together with Mark and Teresa, and with Ike and Lucy, and with Jimmy and Billy Ann. We're living. And those who've gone before, whose names we barely say anymore, we're with them. We're together. This is the body of Christ. We're involved in the ministry. It's not about us. It's not about doings. It's Jesus, make this reality true. Now, this is the last week in Leviticus. And somebody said before service, Bill, when are you ever going to get out of Leviticus? And I want to tell you, this is the last week as far as I know. You can pray with me about that. But I'm very intrigued, as Ike read, that the last paragraph is about tithing. The last paragraph of all that stuff, priests and sacrifices, worship, holiness, cleanness, Day of Atonement, priests, feasts, holy days, holy years, jubilee, tithing. It's almost like the Lord says, wait a minute, just before you go to the next thing, let me tell you, holiness is real. It's authentic. It touches your stuff. You want to be holy? Look at the priest. Great. Thank you for what you're doing, priest. I like the holy place. I like what it... Symbols, symbols, symbols. Like this altar. Symbols, symbols. Like a box symbol. But it touches your stuff. So on the way out of Leviticus, the Lord says his last command is, Every tenth thing is mine. Don't ever have an income or a day in your life when anything comes in your home or your mind where you don't say, a tenth of that belongs to God. It's not because he's a legalist. I don't even know if he cares so much about the percentage. All he wants to make sure is that it's all his, as we've heard about 15 times this morning. It's all his. I just want to make sure in my life, realistically, if I want to follow the Holy One, Lord, this is yours. This morning in Sunday school, I had the privilege of listening to our third daughter and her wonderful husband share about going to China for the next 2 years. And as they began to share, Diane introduced them. And she talked about the day, and I remember that day very specifically, when God said to us, these children don't belong to you. They belong to me. We have lots of devotion times in our house. Hundreds of family devotional times, maybe thousands. But the only day I can remember my kids ever really locking into anything I said, you know how they kind of glaze over when you're doing devotions? Glaze, glaze, anger, anger, sleep, sleep. One evening at the table, reading Genesis 12 about Abraham and Sarah, and we talked about how they belonged to the Lord, and we said, you know what, our dream for you is, children, we pointed out to the road, Hoy Road. One day Jesus will say to you, get on that road and start walking and don't stop until I tell you to stop. And they got it. I could tell in their eyes, they got it. Get on the road, Jesus will speak, and don't stop walking until he says stop there. And there's something real, I mean practically, authentically real, when a person says, that's my life. All of it's his. I yield all of it. Every tenth, of course it's his. I'll make sure, Jesus, because it's all yours. And not just my houses and the land and the gifts, but my children, our lives, they're yours. And when that happens, holiness breaks in, and the Holy One transforms. He consumes. Now, I don't often walk out here, so I'm not going to bother you all by walking and look. You know, I want you to look at me. But if your eyes can focus in these closing moments, seconds, on this gold plate on the altar. Isn't it interesting we have golden offering plates? That's a very biblical picture. And this week, as I looked through the architecture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, I thought, how many boxes of wood are there in the tabernacle? At least two, and maybe three. Boxes of wood covered with pure gold. Think about this. Refugees from Egypt in the desert, and God says, build me a box of wood and cover it with pure gold. And the amazing thing is that they all began to give their earrings and their rings and everything they came out of Egypt with, and all of a sudden, there was so much gold that Moses had to say, stop, enough, we don't need any more. In the middle of the desert, we've got enough. We're ready to go to follow God into the promised land. We've got enough, and he's going to form over these boxes, in these boxes, symbols of his holy love. That's what this box is. You may pass it every week, and you may miss the little sign, unobtrusive sign on the front. It says, FYF Building Fund. And the board and Jim and Andy and Jerry got together and said, let's produce a symbol of this, the need yet for these walls and this roof. So when people come by, talking, laughing, crying, praying, hugging, worshiping, whatever it is, in the middle of that life is this symbol. Lord, we're giving to you. So today, as we have lunch, you know what I would love? I would love if a family with children or would come and just around it, and a mother or father say, you know what this is? This is a symbol of what this is. And if Jesus ever met you here, it's because somebody has given from their heart to him. You might want to pray over it. You might want to put something in. Or, like I'm going to give, a commitment. I'm going to take one of those, communication cards. I'm going to steal one and write on it what the Lord lays on my heart to give to the building fund and put it inside. That's what I'm going to do. I haven't asked Di, but I think that's what I'm going to do. And I want you to consider that this morning. It's been a powerful morning for me. Different kind of morning. If you're a guest, thank you for your patience. But I want you to go home to your church and ask yourself, have I ever thought about my church building that way? Do my kids know real, authentic holiness, how it works out in life and economics? The book of Leviticus is a long book. And I don't think it's an addendum. I think it's the climax. God says, you want to be holy? I want to see what comes out of your heart, not for an offering, what comes out as a vow, a commitment of love to me. All the rules are over. The Lord says, what about that spontaneous vow and commitment of thanksgiving? Tithe. I'm intrigued by that. You can debate the percentage. That's fine. I just want to tell you, when you love Jesus, what comes out of your heart is practical with your stuff. Every time. Amen. Amen. You all have sat long enough. Let's stand together and let's pray. Again, we want to ask the men to quickly help us, if you can, move tables and chairs, and we've got a meal for you. Please stay. We're going to have a meal and be dismissed. No after-meal meeting. We're just going to be together, fellowship together, and we praise the Lord for that. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for maybe one of the most biblical mornings we've had, I've had here in 4 years. Thank you for these men and their families, their wives, who have prayed and struggled and given and gone to meetings and prayed and maybe disagreed and have lost friendships over a building project. I don't know. All I know is everything done in your name costs in some way. You've built it into the principle of life. It costs. We sacrifice not because we think we're great. It's because what matters always costs. And you matter. Your presence matters. And we will do whatever it costs that other people will come into a saving knowledge of you in this building. We believe that's your will. So Lord, show me what I need to do. What stuff is already yours? What stuff you want that I can yield because of my love for you, even today? And I pray the same. Bless these moments as we eat together and laugh together and share and maybe give, I don't know, but whatever it is we do, Jesus, may it be done for your glory. May you find pleasure in your people who count whatever comes into our homes. And we're clear and quick and immediately responding by saying, Lord, take whatever you want. It belongs to you because we're yours. Show us where to go. Give us the okay, and we'll stop wherever you tell us to stop. What a blessing that would be, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these men who've shared today what they mean to us. Thank you for all the women in this church who didn't share today what they mean to us. Lord, I praise you for this wonderful congregation. May we as the people of God let this joy just explode out of our lives today as we share a meal in your holy name together. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. The Lord